ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. We're live here inside the Emden Studios. Bullion Sales and Service. You ought to know by now. If you have lawn and garden equipment needs, they are the ones to call. Bullion Sales and Service, when you walk through that door, they treat you like family. That's the kind of atmosphere that you cultivate over time when you're a community business. I mean, for six decades now, Bullion Sales has been the best around when it comes to your lawn and garden equipment needs. Coach Eddie or Ed Bullion cultivated that atmosphere there. So if you go in, you don't know how big your lawn is, you don't know what type of equipment. Do you need a zero turn or a lawn tractor? What are the benefits? Do you need the bag? You want a bag or mulch? You don't really know. They talk you through and walk you through all of that. And then once you purchase your equipment, they make sure that the relationship endures over time with great service. You take your equipment in for annual service. It not only is going to make your equipment run more efficiently in season, it will extend the life of your equipment as well. Bullion Sales and Service, where you're looking for Exmark, Kubota, make and model, Simplicity Courier Zero Turn. I swear by it. I highly recommend it. But there are other folks out there that are Exmark people. I know we got a lot of Kubota people there, the area's premier Kubota dealer. They can take care of you as well if you're looking for push mowers, chainsaws, tillers. You get over into snow equipment. They have you covered there as well. Bullion Sales and Service is located at 8530 North Territorial Road in Dexter. You can find them online at WeKnowTractors.com. Again, WeKnowTractors.com. So John Beilein signs an extension through the 2022-2023 season. We've been saying all morning, well-deserved. Told the story already about Manny, you know, great Manny story. I remember when I heard that they were going to go hard after Trey Burke. Now, what people don't know is Michigan first started recruiting Trey Burke with Jerry Dunn.
Yes.
Jerry Dunn.
Yes.
I mean, you
former Penn State assistant.
Former Penn State assistant. And, you know, coincidentally, Trey was committed to Penn State mm-hmm. first. Where Jerry was the first one to get Michigan on Trey. I mean, that staff, when you think about that first John Beilein staff with John Mahoney, and, you know, I know we don't talk about Jerry recruiting a whole lot of guys.
Right.
But that was one that he had Michigan on, and he said, we need to be – this is going to be a guy.
Just a guy.
You know, Mahoney had he obviously landed Tim Hardaway. Mm-hmm. He landed Darius Morris, but he had Michigan on Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
You know, he'll tell you now, I had Michigan on Kawhi Leonard.
I mean, he really did.
He really did, though. He had Michigan at the finish line for Klay Thompson.
Because it came down to San Diego State.
And then Klay Thompson came down to Washington State and Michigan.
And Klay wanted to stay close to home, obviously, West Coast.
Well, I think Klay's dad wanted him to stay close to home. I think Klay Thompson, I think he would have. Anyway.
Yes.
History. Water under the bridge, right?
Wow, those two players.
Would have been amazing.
And what they're doing now.
It would have been. But that just goes to show you how they were always able to spot guys. They got better at landing guys over time.
That wasn't huge on the national scene.
Well, I remember, though, when I heard that they were going to go hard after Trey. I don't know, man. because we had seen Trey, and I told this story before.
We saw
him match up with Yogi Ferrell.
Oh, yeah.
At Spieth, and this had to be Trey's. It had to be
sophomore year.
I think it was Trey's sophomore year. And Benji was coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And you just wouldn't have thought that was Benji's
son.
Yeah,
you did. I mean, when you seen them, well, you weren't really paying attention like that. But when you're like, man, them dudes, they got to be father and son.
Well, I don't know. Well, the way Trey talked to Benji that day, I didn't think that was his dad.
Well, no, you didn't. We didn't. I'm sorry. Because you were like, Sam said, man, they recruiting him? Man, I don't know if Beilein can handle him. That guy? Man, did you see what he just said to his coach? Now, mind you, this was a consistent conversation with me and Sam Webb throughout.
Yeah, it was. Because, I mean, we're coming off of Manny.
Mm-hmm.
Coming off of Manny.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, ah. And this dude is cussing his dad out.
Yeah.
So when you talk about.
Fiery.
When you talk about the maturation of a player, I mean, that was Trey as a sophomore. He matured greatly. Even before he got to,
but he was a real competitor, man. Like he really loved the game, like hate losing.
Right, and then he felt, and then one of the things he obviously felt like he was overlooked, and
yes,
he was at
he
that
was.
Time. He
yeah.
was overlooked at that time because yeah. we were
I'm
talking
right about, down the street from Ohio State,
right? And we were talking about Yogi was, I mean, Yogi. We were talking about him from the time he was a freshman.
Yes,
I mean John Mahoney was on him hard. Yogi, if you remember Yogi's dad,
oh, that's my guy.
Seemed like he, I mean, it felt like he was feeling Michigan like that, and I really think he was, but, I mean, it's IU. It's right around the corner.
Because Mahoney was talking about how Yogi wanted to be a lawyer. He's talking about the law program. And that's what, oh, man, that's what was, you know, so, really bringing him in.
So to set that stage, here you have a Trey Burke who's feeling like he's overlooked.
Yeah.
Versus a guy in Yogi Ferrell that everyone's talking about.
Everyone.
Like this dude and Yogi's team. Is winning and he is just on fire. That they're losing. This is like a chance to get his
yeah
to get his name
my respect
up.
That yeah. I deserve
for people to see me to hear yeah. me and here we are losing this game. So he was letting Benji have it. And so when I heard that Michigan was on, I was like, I don't know if this is going to work out. And credit first to Trey.
Yeah,
for his maturation. Benji for how he molded him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the coaching staff. I mean that coaching staff seeing different coaching dynamics over time. We've seen several coaching staffs. I say this all the time on, you know, from every program.
Yeah.
You know, ones that were successful, and that was maybe the first example that I'd seen of a coaching staff where there was no dead weight, where everyone
pulled their weight.
Everyone pulled yeah. their weight. Everyone contributed.
Great people.
Brought
great
in.
Great communicators.
And so from that point on, you've really seen, I think, John Beilein kind of be I just think that he sets the bar for the coach hiring process. You know, finding not just a good coach, but a good fit.
Yeah.
You know, you can find good coaches that aren't good fits. And so we, you know, a lot of times a guy might come in and doesn't work out and people, he's a terrible coach. Now, he might not. The guy didn't come here and just forget how to coach.
No.
He might just be a bad fit.
For what you're trying to
for
do.
For what you're trying to do. And so John Beilein has kind of really mastered finding
he
guys.
He really has some terrific staff.
Yeah, finding guys that really, really fit.
Yeah.
And so that has gotten him to the point where he has the top program in the Big Ten. And I don't have to worry about getting any calls about that one, Dre.
Ever.
Because there's proof. There's proof that he is a top program in the Big Ten, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, because of how he's done it.
Right.
You know, I remember you talk about that meeting that we had with Coach Beilein, but I remember that time when we were down at Callahan Hall, and Coach Beilein was amongst the people for the very first time.
Operation Friendship. It was Operation Friendship, and I think that was Darrell Summers.
Yes.
It was Kalen Lucas.
Yes.
They were going head up. Michigan was recruiting was recruiting them at the time, and I just remember seeing Coach B and Izzo kind of ham it up.
First of all, they were sitting together.
They were sitting together.
And Sam was on fire. What is he doing up there? Do we know how that guy feel about him?
Well, so look, and this. So let me clarify. Let me explain. What I was getting at, because I eventually expressed this. Look, man, it is easy to be friendly and deferential and glad-handing when you're winning, when you're on top, right? I mean, you know, all the speaking. Come on, man. There's no love for Michigan. He doesn't love.
Zero.
He doesn't.
And it's been expressed. So
absolutely.
It's been put out there
absolutely.
On the table. I don't like you all or your program.
So my you know, what I was trying to get across at the time was, that's not your friend. That dude's not your friend. I'm just a colleague, sure. Friend, no. You know, that's.
Well, Sam, you told him that when we were down there. That guy don't like you. And, you know, for Coach Beilein, in his defense, I'm sure he like, man, I'm just coming down here to try to get the kids to see me. And now you telling me the guy I'm sitting next to, I shouldn't be sitting next to him.
I didn't say that.
No, you didn't say that.
I didn't say you should sit next to him. I said, this dude's not your friend.
Yeah, I mean, that's enough.
Well, he's not. He's not. Well,
Coach, being the thoughtful, kind person he is, he's just worried about what he's trying to do
right
with his program. Coach doesn't care about what you're doing over there.
Well, and so, again, I mean, diplomatic, mm-hmm. You know, great faith. And I was I was more fiery back at that time.
Man.
You know, it was definitely.
You know, one thing that stood out there, too, Sam, is, and he was kind of taken aback by it, the love that the fans was showing him. I mean, rolling up on him. And we were telling him, Coach, they just want to see you. Like, they love you. You know, and he was getting acclimated to that.
Yeah,
he was getting acclimated to that. That was his, I want to say, was that year two?
I think it was the summer.
You know, I shouldn't say he was taken aback, but he probably was surprised that I just got here. But, you know.
And coming in, I mean, that was the talk. The talk was, can you recruit Detroit?
Right.
That's what everyone was
and
saying.
And he came down there immediately. He did not back away from it at all. You know, but, you know, when you have that M on your chest down in those parts, and I know they say certain schools have this city locked up or that city locked up, but you come down to Detroit, man, it is some diehard, as Sam would say, fiery Michigan fans. They just want to see that you are out and about recruiting the talent that they want to try to get to Michigan.
And so in Michigan, they had gotten a few guys by that point. They had gotten Manny.
Yes.
They were coming off getting Manny. And before that, Deshaun Sims.
Sam wanted to bring this.
No, you brought it up.
Up in the break. I wish you guys could hear some of the conversations during the break. But, yeah, Deshaun Sims, I was a hot and contested recruiting battle between Michigan and Michigan State. And Deshaun played for the family, wanted to come to Michigan. I mean, he liked Michigan State.
He always liked Michigan.
Always.
He liked Michigan from the beginning.
What was
Coop was his guy.
Yep, Coop was kind of letting us know how the recruiting process was going. Hey, man, he liked Michigan State, but, you know, Michigan has always been his favorite.
Yeah, Coop was his.
Always.
Coop wasn't just his. He was an assistant at Pershing, but
he was
a father figure. He was like, that
guy's done so much
more
down
than a coach.
In, yeah.
Was more than a coach.
And not just for Deshaun, but for other kids as well. You know, but Deshaun ended up committing. And then it happened.
It sure did. So I'll say it now. So after he committed, I got a call from Coop. And Coop said, Sam, you won't believe what just happened. Tom Izzo just called me and was giving it to me. Just was like, let me have it. Like, you lied and you pushing him to Michigan.
Right,
and
just let
me have it. I was like, wow,
right,
man.
Right.
Now,
this
I knew.
This is big time athletics.
Right. So he felt wrong. He either felt misled or felt like Coop had pushed him to Michigan. One of those things.
Also,
both of them
remember
bad.
During that time, Sam, Michigan State was getting whatever they wanted.
So. You're absolutely right. And so I had heard that story already. And apparently either Coop or Petey, they were telling other people.
Yes.
They were telling other people. Yeah. I wasn't the only one that they told that.
Listen.
So word was getting around. Mm-hmm. And at that time, Dennis Fithian was hosting the afternoon show.
Okay.
So he had called me and asked me to come on and talk about Michigan getting Deshaun Sims. Ooh. And so he said, hey, I'm hearing that, you know, Tom Izzo kind of went after. And so he asked me, and I actually still have that interview. I still have that interview on a CD. That's how old it is.
Wow.
I had to get it based on what transpired
after that.
Anyway, he asked me about the whole thing. He said, I heard Tom Izzo is, you know, kind of went after him. I said, well, I don't know anything about that. I lied. I didn't say I didn't lie. I didn't say I don't know anything about that. I said, I'm not going to comment on that. I'm not going to comment on anything about that. I'll comment on the guys that I have heard reacted graciously. Mm-hmm. I never even said Tom Izzo's name.
Right.
I didn't allude to him having done
that.
That's
amazing back then that you did that.
Yeah, right.
Considering how you were back then.
Right, right. So I did not point the finger at him at all.
Yeah.
Despite having heard that.
Right.
And went on to talk about, so Rob Murphy over at Eastern Michigan, mm-hmm. now he was at Syracuse mm-hmm. at the time, he called Petey and was like, congratulations, man, go on. You have a great career at Michigan. Was very gracious in defeat. So I kind of, you know, shouted Murph out in there and kind of went on to talk about Deshaun's game. Never said Tom Izzo's name one time. Not once. So I leave. I go out of the country.
On a cruise.
At that time, you know, that Sunday, so that had to happen like on a Wednesday or Thursday. That Sunday, Rob Parker, who was at the time mm-hmm. on a Detroit sports show, went on television and put that out there about Tom Izzo.
All the way out there.
It happened to be true. This is one of
it was true.
He had some things that he said false about Michigan State, like the whole Kirk Cousins thing, which was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But this time, Rob Parker was actually telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He actually had a legit story. And so,
because it had made its rounds,
it had made the rounds.
And Rob was in Detroit. You know, I think he was writing for the Free Press, if I'm not mistaken,
or the news.
Or
I can't remember who he was.
But he
for.
Was connected in the city, very much.
And so, from that point, him going on television, I guess that's when word had got to Tom Izzo, and somehow, some way, he began conflating who said what, like, you know, Rob Parker. Sam Webb, like we were both out there talking about him. So, which I'd never said the dude's name. And then fast forward to coming back from the cruise.
And I got a call from Sam, because when Sam would come to port, he called me, hey man, everything going okay? Yeah, might be some recruiting things or, you know, some phone calls he told me to make. Hey, what's going on with this guy? What's going on with that guy? So towards the end of the cruise, Sam called me, and he says, hey, man, you know, Tom Izzo done called me on my phone. I said, Tom Izzo? He said, yeah, Tom Izzo called me on my phone. So I was like, oh, man, it's probably nothing. You know, it's probably no big deal. So we talked a little bit about recruiting, hung up the phone. Sam calls back, and he is on fire. And the reason why he's on fire, because Sam doesn't want to look soft, and it's making him look soft, because while he's on the cruise, which he can't get these phone calls,
right.
Izzo is calling him. Not one. Can I do the LeBron? Not two. Not three. Not four. Not five. He's calling him, but obviously Sam doesn't know anything about these phone calls. Now, if you know anything about Sam from Flint, if you have anything to say to him, he will return your call. He will meet you at your house. He'll meet you at your favorite drinking hole. I will meet you if you have something to say to me. So Sam says, man, you know, I got these calls. Yeah, I got to call him back. So two or three days.
I was upset about. I wasn't upset. I wasn't even upset.
Not about the calls.
I wasn't upset that he called me.
Yeah.
I was upset that he thought I was ducking him.
Yeah.
That's what I had.
But you were on the cruise.
He thinks I'm ducking him.
You couldn't get those phone calls. So Sam travels back home, and I think it was the day after he got back home, I ended up going out to the house, to his house, and he's on fire. Man, do you think this dude think I'm ducking him? I'm not ducking him. I was like, whoa, what is this? Man, I got something for you to hear right now. You got something for me to hear? Yes. So he's playing these voice messages for me. And the very first one that I hear is, you would think that when a Big Ten coach calls you, that you call him back. It's like, man, that's Tom Izzo. Yeah, Dre. Now, mind you, he said, yeah, Dre, but this is how it sounded. Yeah, Dre. Beep. That's how it sounded. On fire. And Sam was just upset, like he said, not necessarily about he called, but this guy thinks I'm ducking him. Man, I'm not ducking him. And it just went from there. I just I tell you, social media now, I'm so thankful, seriously, that social media was not around then.
Because
I can only imagine. You're talking about ESPN, CNN, Oprah, all of that.
Yeah, he's, you know, I think, I want to give him credit. I think he's coming up, because I don't know that he's calling people like that anymore. I don't think you can't, because people will put that,
it
like
was
you
almost
said,
like the Kevin Durant back then. Like, Kevin is so sensitive now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was how he was back then, not realizing, man, your stature shouldn't even be coming
to
this.
Yeah, you don't, and so, like, it seems like he kind of lets a lot more fly than he did back in the day.
Well, that's learning, too. You know, and maturing and understanding.
Hey, man, I'm making $5 million. I don't give a damn what.
Yeah.
I'm a champion. You know, man. Final Fours, I don't care what people out there say.
Well, you're not just a champion. You're one of the top, not only coaches, but one of the premier programs
in America.
And
here's the thing, though, Dre. Even if I had said it, I wouldn't have been lying. That's the thing. It's like, dude, all right, so you getting mad. But first, I didn't say your name. But even if I had said it, it was the truth.
I mean, but you didn't. That's what's so
and
amazing.
And I didn't, right. I didn't. I didn't even tell what I knew.
I often wonder, did he ever send Rob any voicemails?
I think he did.
Because I see Rob as a guy that's not, that's going to take those calls. He's going to take those calls. I just wish one of those calls would have came through when you was in port. Just one. I don't even know if you'd been able to get back on the boat.
I'm on fire, man. 8:46 on a Thursday morning here on the Michigan Insider. When we come back, we will switch gears momentarily, get into some baseball with Paul Wesner from TigerTown.com. In the 9 o'clock hour, more Michigan basketball. As we talk about John Beilein re-upping, extending his contract through the 2023 season. Just an outstanding move for Michigan. Outstanding move for John Beilein, avoiding that train wreck down in the D.
Shout out to my man Rico Beard. What's up, Rico?
The great Sam Webb. I think we all know who he is.
You are going to get many fans, Dre. You call it up.
I know, man.
Call it Rico, your guy.
You know, just like I, you know, rest in peace, and this was a terrific guy, you know, Drew Beard. Rico is a really, if you guys really had a chance to, I meant Drew Sharp, I'm sorry. If you had a chance to really know, I know, I'm really killing them, aren't I?
You're killing them right now.
But if you really got to know those two guys, and I'm sincere about this, just really two terrific people. It's just that he bleeds green. And I hope he's not bringing that doggone Spartan chain to
everywhere he goes. We got to get to a break. Back on the other
love
side
Rico.
Here. Oh, the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket.